Welcome back to Jesus Speaks Farsi. As you might have imagined, life in Iran can be difficult for a woman. Many women there have faced oppression, abuse, and trauma, and all have been impacted by the Islamic regime's demeaning restrictions on women. But we've seen over and over that when women experience the liberating and restorative freedom of Jesus, they can become powerful influencers. Join us as we hear the stories of Iranian women who face significant challenges, but through the transformative power of the gospel, have become forces to be reckoned with in the Iranian church movement.
Hey, welcome back. We're excited for you to hear from Bahar today. Born and raised in Iran as a Muslim, Bahar always felt in her spirit that the way women were treated in the Iranian culture wasn't right, and certainly not how things were meant to be. She was told to be quiet, to never smile, and to stay in her place. In this episode, we'll hear how she ended up finding her place in the story God is writing for women in Iran.
Baha, I am so glad that we get to hear part of your story. Tell us a little bit about growing up in Iran as a woman.
Yes, I born in the Muslim family in 1986 in Iran, inside Iran. And the most famous sentence we heard as a girl is to be quiet. Be quiet, you are a girl. Be quiet. Mm-hmm. Girls don't laugh loudly. Be quiet, be quiet. So when I was six, my mom started to teaching me some basic Islamic rules. And I remember she told me when I have to have hijab at age of nine, I have to pray to Allah five times a day. I cannot shake any man's hand. I cannot laugh loudly. So for me, when I was, I think, 9 or 10, I thought the girls don't have any respect in Iran, in Muslim cultures. And I felt I am not happy with this girl.
Did your other friends feel the same way? I know you've got two sisters, right? Did they feel the same way about being female inside Iran?
I think people's characters are different. Yeah. But for sure, many, many women, they are thinking in the same way I am thinking. But for some reason, they are not crying out. Yeah. And for some reason, they are silent. But for me, I couldn't be silent. So when I was 13 years old, I told directly to my parents that I don't like to worship this God. That caused lots of problems for me, actually. Yeah. Lots of problems. But as I said, because being women in Iran, that means you are a loser. Really, you shouldn't plan, you shouldn't dream for your future because you don't have any future. And you cannot share your opinions. And every night you have nightmares because they told you God will send you to hell.
Right.
Because if you show any, even one of your hair to someone, some man's, you are going to hell.
Yeah.
So God is not really happy with women in Islam. He's not. And if you, even if you do your best, you are going to hell. So, yeah, I wasn't happy.
So, as a 9-year-old, you had to start wearing the hijab. Was that an uncomfortable... Can you remember? Was it uncomfortable? Did you have to wear it in the home or just when you went out in public?
Absolutely, it was uncomfortable because you have to cover your head to toe.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of the heat of the summer. I remember I was playing with the neighbor's boys all together. And suddenly, one day, my mom came to me and she told me, tomorrow, you have a huge party and celebration at a school. And I was very happy. I said, wow, what's going on? What party we have? And the day after, I went to a school and they gave us all the white color, big, like, hijab. It's longer than a scarf. And we had to wear that. And my mom told me, from this day until you die, you should cover your hair and you cannot play with guys anymore. It was a heartbroken moment for me, heartbroken, because I knew really that means the huge limitation for many things. That means now you are adult. In age of 9, you should be adult. And wow. I think this is not fair.
So what was it like going to school in Iran? Boys and girls schools are separate.
Yes.
How was that?
Yeah, boys and girls at school are separated. Actually, in some cities, even in the same street, they cannot have a school for boys and girls. It should be far away.
Yeah.
And yeah, I never had any boy room classmate or anything like that.
Yeah. And I remember you telling me a story once about going to the beach and you were swimming and you had a younger brother, right? Tell us about having a younger brother. And
actually, I should tell you something before I start. I told you age of nine we should have hijab, but in age of seven we go to a school and we have to have hijab in a school.
Oh, okay.
But in age of nine you should have hijab in the streets as well.
Yeah.
Or even you gather with your family, except your parents and your brother, you have to have hijab too. So when I was born, because as you said, I have two older sisters, my father, like other Muslim men, he was waiting for son. And when the nurse told him that another girl's coming, they told me that my dad was really upset. He left hospital and he didn't return back to home for 3 days. But I remember after 5 years, my brother was born and they gave a huge party celebrating for him. And I was 5 years old, but I remember that day I was not happy. And I said, what is different between me and him? Why they love him more than me? And actually, they didn't love him more than me. The Islamic culture respect boys, respect men more than women. Not more than women, because they don't respect women at all. So when we were going in summer, we were going to north of Iran because we have a very beautiful sea, Caspian Sea over there, and sometimes to south of Iran, to Persian Gulf. We were going very happy, three of us as a girls and my brother. We were going to the beach, but we have to sit and watch my father and my brother swimming, but we couldn't swim. We should just sit and
sat and watched them and no women could go swimming?
No, not man. I always, my dream was to go to on the sea and swim.
Do you know, how did your dad and your brother feel about that? Were they sad you couldn't go swimming with them? Or was it just that was life and they just accepted it?
Actually, this is a normal life in Iran and other Muslim countries. It's normal. That means people are not thinking about it because something routine. And I don't think they thought, even for 1 second, they think about it, my poor wife or poor sister or poor daughter. This is normal.
Yeah.
This is normal and you have to accept it. And after, when they were finishing the swim, they were coming out and we could like go for dinner or play volleyball or play card at home.
So you could play volleyball?
Volleyball in our yard.
In your yard, so in private you could play.
Yeah.
So were you able to take off your hijab in your family at home? I know different families have stricter rules.
Yes.
What was it like for you?
Yes, for me, my family, they are open-minded, actually.
Okay.
And I could I hadn't hijab front of my uncles, aunt, and grandfather.
Yeah.
And grandfather and dads and brothers are normal in Islam. But uncles or cousins or nephew or things, you have to have hijab. For me, it was easier. Yeah. I haven't. But out of city, out of home, yeah.
You said your parents were different in a way because they went to university, didn't they? They both went to university.
Yes.
And you did. Tell us about that, the education of women going on to further education.
Yeah, my parents, they both educated. And for us, again, as a woman, going to university is hard because exam, Iranian, they know that. University exam is really, really hard in Iran. And for example, every year they said we need 100,000 people, new student. But between those, just 10% girls and 90% boys. So it's very hard to go to university. But I went to university, God helped me. At that time, I was Muslim.
Yeah.
But I went to university and I got my bachelor inside Iran.
And so when you went to university in Iran, you were actually in classes with other boys this
finally
time. What was that like, being not around boys at all and then in a classroom? Did you move away from home to go to university as well?
Actually, this is a good question, because one of the reasons that girls are smart in Iran, because they go to university easier. Yeah. And I think the reason is they want to have a boy classmate. Yeah. Finally. This is one of the key reasons. For me, it was same. I said, finally, I want to go and be with some boys. And we have option. We could choose our own city or go far away from your parents. My parents asked me to stay in the same city.
So you lived at home and went to school?
For my associate's
degree.
Yes. Yeah. But for my bachelor, I was 3 hours away from home in another city.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so what was it like mingling with the guys in university? Were they a bit more respectful? Did they listen to you? Was it hard? What were the professors like?
Actually, at that time, I know now in Iran maybe it's easier, but at that time we are talking about, it was really, really hard. Even in a school, we have a group of Basijis. Some people, they know Basijis. That means the people who are a strict Muslim and they are working with government.
Yeah.
We had a group in every university that they were controlling you. If you talk with the boy, they were coming to you and they ask you, they could fire you from university, they could stop you from studying. And once they stopped me for studying for one semester.
So the Basiji, a group of guys that work with the government and kind of enforce the Islamic laws around the university, they're making sure guys and girls aren't mingling or getting into trouble. They Absolutely. Stop you from going to university for a semester. Why? What did you do? Yes.
Because I had a boy classmate and he was very good. We were like a friend, really, social friends. And after university, we all went to the coffee shop. And one Basiji saw us.
Yeah.
And the story happened.
what did your mom and dad say about
getting sent? Didn't tell them at all.
You didn't tell them?
No, I was going to university every day.
So you pretended to go to university?
Yes.
And your parents were none the wiser?
Yeah, and each has...
Do they know yet? Have you told them now?
I was telling them in the funny way, but never tell them for one semester. No. But I told them I was... they knew I was troublemaker.
Yeah.
They always call me, you're a troublemaker. But every morning I was waking up 6:30, going to the library, coffee shop, sitting until 6 p.m.
Really? So you were a big reader. And back, did they have internet then? And
at that time,
we had smartphones or anything.
We had a coffee net. That means you could go and use the internet. I was going that my parents think I'm going to university. But
so what would you do all day? Reading books, and you would study, and what kind of
reading
stuff were you learning?
Reading books, especially the stories translated about women from other countries like American, Russian.
So you were reading
European.
About women in other countries, and that
a
was
a lot.
Wow, how did
a
that
lot.
Make you feel? You're not allowed to go to university because of the Basiji.
Yeah.
And you're reading about women in other countries.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Heartbreaking. When I always ask really God, why I was born in Iran? Why I was born in Muslim family? Because I was thinking my mindset is totally different with that. Yeah. And because I was studying a lot, I always wanted to be like one of these ladies. Be free, not that the bad part of freedom. I mean to share your opinions, be someone important, and someone respect you finally. I was very smart, as I said. I was really smart, and I had a very good grade in the school. I always had good ideas, but my parents, they didn't care about that. No one didn't care about that. And you think you are going to lose anything, your creativity, your like your gifts God gave you, your abilities, nothing. You cannot use for anything. And I was always thinking, after finishing university, I'm going to marry like others women. I'm going to respect my husband, have kids, raise them, and then I'm going to die. Yeah. And this is really, that was not the life I wanted to have. Thank you.
So we've heard about Bahar growing up inside Iran as a woman and not being treated the same as maybe a younger brother, not being favored as much, and going to university and being kicked out by the Basiji for having coffee with another guy and not telling her parents, and learning about other women in different countries and the freedoms that they had, and dreaming of that, you know, one day she could maybe do it. But unfortunately for her, around university, had you graduated university when your parents arranged your marriage for you? Tell us about that, what that was like.
This is a long story. Joe, I always wanted to be pilot.
A pilot.
Okay. I always wanted to be pilot. Two things. Once, I wanted to be really important governor, maybe president for some important countries, and then pilot. But my parents, they told me, actually they forced me to study in another major, accounting. They told me, because at that time, girls, even now, girls cannot be pilot in Iran. And so I become accountant and I finish my degree. I graduated before I met my husband. But when I met him, he encouraged me to go and study pilot online. So I study for one semester again, and another sad story happened.
So you were studying to be a pilot online and your parents didn't know about it? Or they
didn't know about it.
You've got a lot of secrets, haven't you? I hope your parents aren't listening to this. You've not got... So, all right. So, so you're studying to be a pilot with your husband. That wasn't the husband that you were arranged to marry. This is another guy that you met, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us about that. So you met Amir Hussein.
Yeah.
And he was a rebel as well, obviously, because he told you to study to be a pilot.
Yeah. We were very same, and still we are very similar. when I graduate, usually in Islamic culture, in traditional families, the parents choose husband for you, for your future. And one day I was going to work. I was working as an accountant and I was making very good money at that time. So I was very independent. I was going to work 7:30 a.m. And because of traffic, I was using the taxi. And in Iran, we share taxi. That means when you use, someone else can come too. Like 100 feet after me or 200 feet after me, taxi stopped again. And very, very gentleman and young man with the long hair and very cool style came. And he sat next to me. And he was eating dry fruit,
yeah,
sour fruit, 7:30 a.m. And he was making this sound, this one, with this his mouth. I was really wanted to have some peace. And he found out. He saw I'm watching him. And he could see that I want this dry fruit too. So he asked me. He said, "Do you want some?" And I said, "Yes, please." I start to eat, and then I was listening to the music. He was listening to the music too. He asked me, "What kind of music you listen?" I said, "Pink Floyd."
So let me just answer that. Back then, what were you listening to the music on? Like iPod, a CD player? What was it?
It was MP3 player.
MP3 player.
Yeah,
okay.
MP3 player. Yeah. I am not very old, but sometimes I feel I am old. Yeah, it was not iPod at that time. And then he told me, "Wow, interesting. I am listening to Pink Floyd too."
Was Pink Floyd popular in Iran?
Young people, they like it, and they still love it. And Roger Waters was my favorite.
What would the Basiji have thought about you listening to Pink Floyd?
No, they knew. As I said, you cannot never tell them. This is not even still from, even now, is not legal to hear to that kind of music. David Gilmour, Pink Floyd, the thing like that, no.
Wow.
So then we saw that we both like the same musician, same dry fruit, same style. So he gave his number to me, and I gave my number to him. And another secret start, secret relationship, because my parents, they were against having the boyfriend.
Yeah.
And they were, I am sure my dad could kill me because of that. So
all these secrets, like to us in the West, this is just a young girl, you know, being out there, meeting people, experiencing life. But in Iran, there's this... it's almost looked down upon, that kind of stuff. So how did you feel in regards to religion and Islam? How did you feel about that?
I didn't like it. Do you know why? Because I was thinking why religion people think very, very in very bad way.
Yeah.
For example, if you have relationship with someone, they think you want to have sex.
Yeah.
But this is not what you want. You want to just talk and have like going to, but the way they think is not really healthy.
Yeah.
And that was bothering me. And I said, but I'm talking with my brother, I'm talking with my father, and I might talk to other guys as well. But the way they teach you is like, is very dangerous.
Yeah.
They, many bad things can happen to you. I am sure in some cases dangerous, but I didn't like that I have to have lots of secrets because it was stressful.
Yeah, I mean, even in the West, a lot of Christians grow up feeling like that. You know, they have to keep secrets. So did you feel like a bad Muslim?
I was sure I am going to hell.
Yeah.
I was sure. As I said, when I was 13 years old, I was sure I am going to hell. And this is the start of very, very bad sins.
Yeah.
Because when you're sure you are going to hell, I told myself, Bahar, you don't have any hope. You go to hell. So let's go to the deeper place of hell. Because you go anyway.
Yeah.
So I start to do many mistakes in my life.
A lot of mistakes.
And I was always like shouting to my parents.
Yeah.
In my room, not in front of them, and to God. And I said, any bad thing I do, you are the reason, not me. You are the reason.
So you were kind of angry and
I
rebellious.
Was very angry, and I was stressful.
Really?
You can see I have it white here. when I was 15 years old, one morning I woke up and I see I have it like white hairs.
Oh, you're
in my
white
hair.
In you were
age of 15.
Wow.
Because I was thinking a lot.
Yeah.
A lot, and all stressful.
Wow.
If my parents found out what I'm going to do, many, many stress.
So you're seeing Amir Hussein, a friend who likes Pink Floyd and Drive Through, and you kind of seen each other, and then your parents say they've got a guy for you to marry.
Yes.
Tell us what happened there.
After a few months of my secret relationship, underground relationship with my husband, one day I was coming back from a job and my mom told me, dress up. It was like 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. I arrived and I said, what's happening? She said, we have guests. And we call it khastegar. That means someone wants you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what? For who? And she said, for you. And I
wow.
said, I don't want it.
So you'd had no warning
I
about
didn't
this.
Had
you
any
had no
idea.
Idea.
No, I
wow.
didn't have any idea. And these people, they wanted me.
Yeah.
We were very good friends with them. Very good friends with them. So they forced me, my dad and my mom, especially my mom, forced me to dress up and have some makeup. And I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
Didn't like it at all. And sit and wait for them to come. So they came. And usually in Iran, in this meeting, we call it khastegari, parents give you like 30 minutes to go to the private room with this boy and talk about your future and plan about it.
Yeah.
So after a few hours, they told both of us, go to your room, to my room, and talk about your future, see how it's work. We went, and I was again stressful. I was thinking back in my mind about Amir Hussein, my husband, and about the relationship we have with them, and about after this meeting, how my parents will like act. But finally, I became again brave. I was very brave somehow. I opened my mouth, and I told him, look, I don't love you at all. I love someone else. And I don't forget that moment that he opened the door and he was shouting in front of everyone, why you told us to come when your girl wants someone else? And I was stressful, shaking, really shaking. And they left. They left in a very bad way. And our relationship until now is broken.
Oh, with that family.
With
yeah.
that family. And my mom beat my hit in my face very bad, not front of them, after they went. And my mom locked me in the house for 1 week and they took my cell phone. I couldn't let Amir Hussein know. But again, one night, another power come to me. I stole my dad's cell phone and I called Amir Hussein. It was really stressful. I remember that evening and I told him, Amir Hussein, I want to say bye to you. It's like a Bollywood movie, but I cannot marry you. And this is what happened to me. And I was crying a lot because I loved Amir Hussein. And he was crying a lot. The day after, early in the morning, Amir Hussein went to my mom's office. And he told my mom that I love Bahar and I want to marry your daughter.
How long had you known him for?
7 months.
Wow.
But every day when I was going to work, he was coming early in the morning and pick me up from work every evening. Oh, okay. We had lots of time together.
And so from what I know about Iranian culture, that's a lot of shame to put on your family.
Yeah.
So obviously you ended up marrying Amir Hussein.
Yeah.
Did your father not try and stop the wedding? What was that like?
Actually, my relationship with my father become very closer when I grew up because he is an engineer and I was going to work with him.
He was an engineer and you would go do the accounts
yes.
for him?
Yes, okay. Not just accounting,
okay.
even working like a
oh,
handyman.
Really? Oh, great.
The root is because for 5 years he didn't have son, as I said.
Yeah.
During these 5 years, the way he acted with me, it was like a son.
Yeah.
He took me everywhere he was going. So I was very close to my dad. And one day, my mom told him that Bahar loves someone else. He took me outside and he gave me ice cream.
Yeah.
I remember that day. And he told me, do you really love this guy? And I said, yes, I love this guy. I never told him that we were boyfriend and girlfriend. Still today, I didn't tell him and my brother. And he asked me how you met. I told him lie. And I yes. And I told him in the company I work,
yeah.
he was coming as an interior designer and I met him.
Wow.
And they don't know. They don't know about it.
So you did marry Amir Hussein?
Yes, after fighting, really lots of fighting in our home. My mom was against this marriage because Amir Hussein was coming from divorced family. And the mindset for my family was because his dad was divorcing,
yeah.
he's going to divorce too. And his style was different. He was not rich. Many things like that. My mom was against this marriage, but praise the Lord, Amir Hussein really forced the marriage happen. But my relationship with my family really become very, very bad. That they didn't accept me anymore.
Yeah.
yeah. When I got married. The day of my marriage was one of the really sad days for me.
Yeah.
Sad day, yeah.
So it's what I find incredible about that is even though it was a very difficult situation and there was a lot of shame that came on your family from the culture around them, they still let you do that. That must have been a big step for your mom and dad to just allow it to happen. Could they have forced you to not do it? And
they could, but it was wise for them because they knew me.
Yeah.
They knew me. If they stopped me, I could escape from home.
Yeah.
Or I could kill myself. I told them. I told them, if you don't let me to do that, you will see very bad things.
Yeah.
And I remember one day my mom told my dad, let her marry anyone she wants, but she is not our girl anymore.
Yeah.
But it's better for our honor, our family honor. We don't let bad things happen. Yeah.
So it's such a difficult situation because obviously you're in this culture where that's not accepted, but your parents love you, but they struggle with the cultural things.
Yes.
And it's very, very difficult. So what happened when you and Amir Hussein got married? It was very difficult for you. You didn't stay in Iran, did you? What happened?
No, we couldn't because my mom sometimes coming and checking our life. And we didn't have financially good things. Our house was very old house, Amir Hussein and myself. We didn't have expensive furniture. And we were smoking, both smoking, and my mom was not happy with that kind of thing. And she was really forcing us again to divorce. For any reason, she told us, you don't have any future, you should divorce. You don't have any future. And another sign, Amir Hussein's parents, they were divorced and they were giving lots of wrong advice. So finally, one day, Amir Hossein told me, "We were looking for peace everywhere, Joe. We changed cities, we changed neighborhood, we changed friends, university. We knew we need something, but we didn't know what is that. We didn't know. Hope, peace, joy." And Amir Hossein came and he told me, "You always wanted to be pilot. Why you are not applying for university out of Iran? And then we go." So I applied for the very famous university in Turkey. It's very famous. It's American university. I had a very, very hard exam. I passed it. And I wanted to apply for be pilot. They accept me. And we moved from Iran with nothing, with no money, no support from family, nothing. Yeah.
So to go to university in Turkey, to be a pilot.
Why
are you not a pilot then? What happened?
We had lots of dreams. And for being young and you see your dreams not going through, is really heartbroken. And another heartbroken season happened for us. When we arrived in Turkey, it was in the midst of winter, very cold day. I remember the snow was coming and we arrived in Istanbul and we asked ourselves, okay, what is the next step? And we didn't know what is the next step because we didn't have money to rent the house. We didn't have jobs. The day after I had to start my university, I went and they asked for lots of money for one semester. We couldn't provide this. Amir Hossein find a job. Very hard. It's a long story. Maybe in another podcast I can share for it with you. Because it's lots of experience for us. Amir Hossein tried very hard and encouraged me to study. But I knew we cannot afford this financial thing. So I stopped studying. And we start our life journey in Turkey in 2009.
Wow, and so quickly, let's jump through the long story. Things went from bad to worse, and you guys ended up on the streets, and somebody came and offered you a cup of tea on the streets. Tell me about that.
This has happened after 1 year. Mm-hmm. For 1 year, we had a very, very, very hard life in Istanbul. And then we had to change our city to a smaller village. And we didn't have home for 1 week. We become homeless. And one day, Amir Hossein and myself and his brother, we were talking about the dark future we have. We were very sad, very sad. And we were talking and some guy came to us suddenly. And he asked us if we are from Iran because of the hair and eyes, we can recognize each other. And we said, yes, we are from Iran. And he hugged us. I remember he hugged us after one year of the bad experiences, a broken relationship, sadness, cry, tears, someone hugged you. It was a huge moment for me. And he told us, "You look tired. Do you want to come to my home and have a cup of tea, chai, and biscuit?" And we said, yes. But inside us, we were shouting, yes, please. We were very hungry. We went to his home, and as soon as we sat, I felt the atmosphere was different. It was a peaceful home. And I asked him, I said, "How you have such a peace in your home?" And he told me, "This is a good question, because here is not my home. Here is a house church." And another season start for us.
You went inside this house for a cup of tea, realized it was a house church. You received a New Testament there. So tell us about that journey quickly.
Yes, praise the Lord for this house church. And another secrets happened. And now I have gospel in my hand. And after fighting with God for like maybe 7-8 years, and now I am 20 years. At that time, I had gospel, and I was really huge battle. I was remembering my mom's teaching every second. And on the other hand, this guy was sharing about Jesus. He told us Jesus is God. And it was a huge shock for me. And another shock, he told us I was Muslim and now I'm Christian. I didn't know that Muslim people, they can convert. So one day after battling, after lots of fight with inside of me and thinking about my parents, again, they will found that they will cut relationship again with us. I opened the gospel. And as soon I opened it, it was a Samaritan woman story. I didn't know that. I started to read it and I really liked it. I saw how Jesus respect women, even the sinner woman, even the one that is not like very good woman, is not famous or nothing. She didn't do anything good. And I liked the verse. They said she went and she changed the whole city. Mm. I really liked it. And I went further. I went to Philippians chapter 2, that God came on earth. And I said, yes, this is a God, know the pains. But I was thinking, okay, who is God? Allah or Jesus? I start to really pray after, as I said, 7-8 years. I said, who are you, God? Jesus or Allah? And inside me, I was really felt sometime told me, Bahar, I love you. I am Jesus. I just ran from home. I had lots of stress. I thought Jesus is in our home. I ran and I went to my husband's workplace. He was working. And I told him, Amir Hussein, do you know what? He said, what? I said, I want to go back to this house church and I want to become Christian. And he was really laughing, very happy, joyful. And I said, what's happening? He said, I decided 3 days ago to give my heart to Jesus, but I was waiting for you. Mm-hmm. Let's go together. So we went together. And we gave our heart to Jesus. And this pastor helped us to grow a lot. And one day after 6 months, he told me, Bahar, I want to send you somewhere. I want you to go to women conference. I never heard about anything back in Iran or anywhere. I said, what conference? He said, women conference. I said, okay, I thought women conference is the place we can go and make crafts and anything like that. Okay, I was very happy. For 1 week, I could go. I went, and over there, everything changed, Joe. Yeah. Everything. Because I saw very strong women serving God. They were educated. They were smart. Some of them, they were not educated, but they were anointed with God. They had calling. They were joyful. And after 3 days, I think, I told myself, this is what you want. You always wanted to change the culture. You always wanted to do something important. Now you can shine for God.
Yeah. So what was it you saw in these women that was so attractive that you said, I want to be like this. I want to help other women experience this. What was it?
Do you remember when we started this podcast, I told you the most famous sentence we heard is be quiet, be quiet. Don't shout. You are nothing. You are nothing. But at that conference, the women, the leaders, they were shouting for God. They were sharing. They were really sharing the experience. They were praying for you. They were worshiping. In Islam, they ask us to mourn, but they had lots of joy. In Islam, they ask you to be silent, but they were laughing. They were very joyful. And I told myself, when I saw the leader of the conference, how she impacted the lives with sharing the Bible verses, with sharing about Jesus, women like coming back from their sin, women crying, like me. I was confessed lots of sins at that conference. My life changed. And I told myself, I should be like that leader. Wow. I should help women to know their identity, to be joyful, and to shout for God. No more be quiet. No more. You should be joyful. Yeah.
So tell us, so that's what happened essentially. You started working and serving in ministry and helping with these conferences, and now you help write material and get things in order. So tell me a few recent stories of women that have had similar experiences to you like that.
Yeah, since that I become pilot. I'm going to sky, to heaven, not with pilot, not with plane. I'm going with Holy Spirit every day. Yes, since that day I got helped me to serve among ladies.
Yeah.
And every day I am talking with women inside that they don't know their identity. They don't know it because you cannot find your identity through your dad, your brother, or your parents. And I am starting to read the Bible verses for them, share my story with them, share that I was in your situation. Every day we see women, really, they are coming, right? They, something changed in their life. Just with one sentence, that God loves you, God respects you. Just two simple sentences change their lives. Yeah.
So what is it that's so attractive about Jesus for these women? Because I've met a lot of Iranian women, and even the ones that are Muslim, they almost want to please God. They want to do the right thing. They want to, you know, raise their kids well. But then they meet Jesus. What is it about Jesus that changes them or really attracts them?
Jesus is the best friend for us, yeah. Joe. When you are in the secret place, I told you we have lots of secrets that you cannot talk with anyone.
Yeah.
In especially when you are women in Iran, you cannot trust anyone. So you are going to God and talk to him, cry. And when you see someone listening to you, when you see you are important for someone, can you imagine they told me someone died for you, Bahar? I couldn't imagine. And some man, some man died for you. Man, I cannot imagine. Yes, Jesus died for you, Bahar, for many, many women in Iran. He loves you. He respects us. We can share our opinion and we can be witness for him. That means we can be co-worker with Holy Spirit. We can serve in kingdom. This is the identity because we have lots of like ability that God gives us, lots of arts that we could never use it. And now we have a place to use it.
So tell me about, I mean, I'm sure you've got thousands of stories, but when the women experience Jesus, they become Christians, they feel this love that they've never felt, they feel that there's a God who listens to them, they feel and they understand that they were made in God's image. What happens to them? What do they do? How do they serve in the church? Like, they're inside Iran, they're not supposed to be Christians. Like, just give us a few examples of what it's like for them. Obviously there's difficulties, but it's got joy with it as well because they're so excited.
Yes, any ministry you can imagine women can do, actually. For example, women, they are very good evangelizers.
Yeah.
They are evangelized very well because I think this is for all women around the world. When we find something good, we share with everyone. Like, yeah. I found a good hairdresser. Let's all of us go. Or I found something good. When we found Jesus, we share with everyone. And as a woman, because in Iran, you already lost many things.
Yeah.
You lost many things. And you don't have anything to lose. You don't have anything to lose. And you said, even if I want to lose my life, I want to lose because of something important. Even if they killed me because of my faith, I am ready to do that. It's better for me to kill for Jesus than someone kill me because of nothing important. Yeah, so they are a good evangelist, good worshiper.
So what, when they're evangelizing, is this not dangerous? Or some of the men trying to put them down? Obviously, there's men that become Christians as well. Like, I'd love to hear a few examples of, you know, women coming to Christ and then husbands, you know, changing, or even husbands changing first and then women. Just give us a few examples.
Like one of them, my friend, she was Christian for 10 years and she was praying 10 years for her husband to become Christian. And finally happened. And some cases doesn't happen. But we know God's changing the culture, working in all people hearts, not just women hearts.
Yeah, so just listening to your story, and we know other women have had it even harder than you. And this is Islam in Iran, so it takes on its own culture. It's different than maybe the Islam I've seen in England, or it's different everywhere. But inside Iran in that time, it's been very difficult for women. So, but what is it like for a Christian woman inside Iran? What is it very, very hard for them? But you obviously say they're full of joy and they're evangelizing. It's hard for me to contemplate that. How does a woman evangelize when she's not supposed to have a voice and she's not supposed to even be a Christian?
Yeah, as I said, it's hard to be joyful and it's hard to be brave.
Mm-hmm.
and then live in Iran.
Yeah.
They are very brave, Joe. I am going to different conferences. They are coming from inside and they tell us about the creativity they have to evangelize.
Yeah.
But it's dangerous for us. It's dangerous because if they caught you as a Christian woman, that can be end of many things.
Yeah.
Many things can happen to you. But I am happy that they really, really are strong and they serve. But for sure, they are underground church. Many people, they don't know they are Christian.
Yeah.
And for some of them, like very traditional family, small cities, they even cannot tell their parents or their family that they are Christian.
Mm-hmm.
They should keep secrets and other secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of secrets. But yeah, it's a hard, but they keep their faith.
But God is moving and there's lots of women becoming Christians.
Yes, lots of women, lots of women.
Thousands of women all over the Iran region are experiencing freedom in Christ just like Bahar. In our next episode though, we're going to hear from a guy. We wanted to find out if all men in Iran feel this way towards women. So we couldn't think of a better guy to talk to than Bahar's very own husband, Amir Hussein. Myself and Jen will be having a chat with him and asking him what it's like from a male perspective on how women are treated in Iran.
Jesus Speaks Farsi is produced by Elam Ministries, a nonprofit charity whose mission is to strengthen and expand the church in the Iran region and beyond. For more information and ways to partner, visit elam.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. We would love for more people to learn about what Jesus is doing amongst Persian speakers today.